I want to start a new mini-series with you today. If you are looking for notes, they're on the website or the app under the media section, or you can take your own notes. It's called Big Steps, and today is Big Steps number one. If you want to follow this in your Bible, it's John 3. And, you know, we talk about taking steps or taking a big step. Josh alluded to this morning, about the big step they have made into joining Bayside Church and heading up our young adult ministry here at Bayside. And that is a big step to take. We talk about taking steps as stepping out in a new direction, a different course of action in order to achieve something. I've noticed that over the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about taking 10,000 steps a day. Apparently, that's what we're supposed to be doing. 10,000 steps a day. It's nothing new. It actually originated in Japan. In 1964, Japan hosted the Summer Olympics, and this kind of movement spread around the nation of Japan that everyone should do 10,000 steps a day to remain fit and healthy. It was called Manpokei, which literally means 10,000. And so all of the Japanese people were encouraged in 1964. And they wore pedometers, which is like the Fitbit of 50 years ago, which apparently was worn around the waist. And every time you took a step, a little click went over. And the Japanese tried to reach 10,000 steps a day for the fitness of the nation. And it's kind of gone from there. There's nothing magical about 10,000 steps. Some people recommend 7,500. I don't think it's about counting them. I think it's about having some activity in your life whereby you're doing something every day to keep yourself fit and healthy. The fact is that physical exercise is beneficial as long as it's appropriate to your age and to your physical capabilities. Taking steps in life is also valuable as long as they are made with wisdom. And so today, I want to explore some of the big steps we can make with regards to our spiritual life. And we're going to do this around the story of Nicodemus that we find in John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. And just before we read those, I want to just say that for many of you here today and those who are engaging with us on live stream, it's quite likely that you have already taken both of these steps. And so this might be good revision for you. There may be a few people here who have not taken these particular two steps. But I'm hoping as well that this message will be a message that you'll think, wow, I know someone who would actually benefit from hearing this. And if that's the case, can I encourage you just to be prayerful while you're listening to me speak? And if that's the case, God kind of rests a person's name in your mind, that this week you contact them and you say to them, I heard a message at church on the weekend that I think you might benefit from or that you might find to be good for you. Would it be okay if I sent you the link to that message? All right, don't just shoot it through. Ask them for permission. And if they say yes, then follow through with that and then maybe follow through with saying, would you like to have a conversation about this? Sound good? So I'm hoping that this message will be a good tool that you can use to help other people on their spiritual journey as well. And so that's what we see in the life of Nicodemus here in John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. So let's read these verses. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Big step one is believing in God. As a Jewish leader, of course, Nicodemus was a believer in God. Most people here today, most people engaging with us on live stream, and good morning to you wherever you are, probably are a believer in God. But maybe there's some who don't. Maybe there are some who doubt. And if you doubt, there's no problem. The very fact that you are here, the very fact that you're engaging with us, and I know that there are people that are hearing me right now, some weeks or days after I've preached this message, and you might be going, I'm actually not sure if there's a God or not, or I have some sort of doubt. I want to encourage you today from my own story, and that is that there was a day when I was 19 that I walked into a church as an atheist and walked out as a believer. That was a big step. That was a life-changing moment for me personally. Now, some of you have heard my story, and if you want to hear the whole story, if you go onto the Bayside Church website under Church and Senior Pastors, you will find there a little arrow that has Christy Buckingham followed by Rob Buckingham, and that's the way it should be. Because C comes before R. And if you follow the Rob Buckingham link, you'll come up to my page, and at the top of that, there is a video that shows my testimony. It goes for about 40 minutes. I'll flick it up on Facebook tonight for those of you who would like to watch that or have a listen to it. But just to give you a little pricey of it, as a 19-year-old, I was hitchhiking around Australia. I was an atheist, and I got to northern New South Wales, and I was picked up by a truckie in a brand new Kenworth truck. And he was going through to Sydney, and that's where I wanted to go. And so I got up into his truck, and we were driving south towards Sydney on the Pacific Highway. And he was a born-again Christian. And you can imagine, for this atheist boy, that I wasn't overly excited about that prospect of being in the truck with him for the next 12 hours. And he was telling me all about his newfound faith and God and everything. And I was just sitting over the other side of the truck, trying to be polite, smoking profusely, and rather disinterested in what he was having to say. About 2 hours after we started on this journey, we were on this very narrow road, the Pacific Highway, and there's this big S-bend, and in the middle of the S-bend, the road narrows even further over this bridge, and there was a truck coming in the opposite direction, realized they couldn't fit on the bridge at the same time as us. The other truck driver slammed his brakes on, the cab jackknifed in front of us, and we hit him head on. And it's a miracle that I got out of that alive, and the truckie as well. When I finally climbed out of the cab and got back up onto the road, one of the guys had died already. He was lying on the road, and the other guy died while I sat there and watched. There was absolutely nothing I could do. So it was a traumatic experience, as you can imagine. I got out of hospital a few days later, and went down to Sydney and stayed with this truckie, Malcolm, and his wife, Lynn, and their two boys. And I stayed with them for a number of weeks while I was recovering. And it was during that time that they, particularly Lynn, was sharing with me about her faith in God. And we had lots of conversations, understanding that even though I was an atheist, I was still very interested in spiritual things. I just didn't think that Jesus and the church were spiritual. I'd been with my religious mate a number of times to his church, and I was just struck by the boredom of it, quite honestly. The service went for an hour, and it felt like it went forever, and I discovered some of the things about eternity by going to that church. So I was not interested. But suddenly I'm hearing from Lynn about God and Jesus and the reality of a relationship with God. And she talked to me about the gifts of the Spirit and healing and speaking in tongues. And I'm like, this is fascinating. So after a few weeks of listening to this, they were heading out to church one Saturday night. And I said, can I come with you? Now, they hadn't asked me to come, which I really respect. But I wanted to go. I wanted to find out a little bit more. And they were very contained. They said, sure, you're welcome to come. I'm sure on the inside they were going like, yes! And so I went along with them. It was a little church called Bethel Foursquare Church. It's in the western suburbs of Sydney. Small church hall, wooden floors, plastic chairs, maybe 25 people were there. They looked different to the church people I'd met before. These people didn't look like they'd just been told that God had died. They were smiling. They were happy. There was a guitar and someone leading some songs. They were very different songs to the way to the songs that we sing today. They were very interesting concepts. There was one called Joy is the Flag Flown High from the Castle of My Heart. And when they got to the chorus, everyone whipped out their hankies. And they opened them up and they waved them around. Let it fly in the high in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. And I'm thinking, this is very unsanitary. Anyway, there was some boogie in the music. After the singing, they had a testimony time where the pastor said, now, anyone that wants to share something that God's done in their life, feel free to stand up and say. So I stood up. Never been that kind of shy about speaking in public. I thought, this is a good opportunity. So I stood up and my first words were, I don't believe in God. And there was this little, row of little old ladies, you know, like Alice. But back in those days, you weren't a little old lady. You were just a little lady. And when I said, I don't believe in God, these little old ladies went, praise the Lord. And so I said, I don't believe in God, but many of you know that I've just been involved in a head-on between two trucks. Two guys died. And I've been told by the police, the doctors, the nurses, the ambulance guys, everybody have said, I shouldn't be alive, but I am. And so I'm just wondering if there may be someone who was watching over me. And when I said that, I burst into tears. Like, I'm not a crying sort of bloke, okay? And so I'm like, oh my goodness. So I sat down, the little old ladies were, praise the Lord. And then the pastor got up to preach and he said, I'm going to talk to you today from John 3:16. We'll read this in just a moment. And he said, don't worry about turning to it in your Bibles because we all know what it says. And I'm sitting there going, I wonder what it says. And so he preached on this. I can't remember what his sermon was, but at the end of it, he said, now, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, what he was saying is if you want to take a big step, then I want you to get out of your seat and come up to the front. And I did. I got up, the little old ladies were, praise the Lord, they were very happy. And I went up the front and this guy came and prayed for me and he said, you want to give your life to Jesus? And I said, I actually don't know. And he said, well, let's pray. So I said, okay. So we prayed. And then when he finished his prayer, he said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I didn't even know there was one. But at this point, I'm thinking, I'll have anything that's going. So I said, I don't know. And he said, well, let's pray. And that was his answer to everything. So he prayed for me. And so I walked into that church, an atheist, and I walked out a believer as a 19-year-old. That big step has totally changed and transformed my life. You got to understand that as a teenager, I hated Christians. I hated the church. I could put all sorts of expletives between the words Jesus and Christ. That's the kind of guy I was. If you knew me back in those days, you would put me at the top of the list of people least likely to convert to Christianity. And yet God took me on that journey where I completely was transformed by taking that big step. And so there may be people in this auditorium today, people watching on live stream, people listening to this or watching this recording somewhere down the track, and that's where you're at. And can I encourage you from personal experience that the big step of saying, I believe in God, is an incredibly good step to take. It has transformed my life and it will transform your life as well. That's big step number one. Big step number two, and this is the only other one we're looking at today. Big step two is being born again. And this is the conversation that Jesus was having with this Nicodemus guy, although I'm sure that if Nicodemus was here today, if he came to church and we shook hands and said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Nicodemus," and I introduced Nicodemus to everybody, that after a few weeks, once he'd settled down at Bayside, we would Aussie-fy his name. And so we would say, "Hey, it's Nico." Right. Nicodemus, or Nico, comes to Jesus and he says this, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Now, that's a really nice thing to say. Nicodemus is paying Jesus a compliment. He's recognizing him as an authentic rabbi who has come from God. You would think that Jesus would at least acknowledge the words and say, "Well, it's very kind of you. Thank you. By the way, can we engage here?" But Jesus just basically ignores Nicodemus' compliment and he goes straight to the heart of the matter, as Jesus so often does. And he looks at Nicodemus and he says, "You must be born again." Question: what did Jesus mean by the term born again? Well, it meant then very similar to what it means today. Sometimes you'll hear people say, "Oh, I've had this experience and it's like I'm born again." What it means is that they've taken a big step or experienced something huge that has led to a total change in their life. And so Jesus was communicating something like this. Aussie Jesus. "Nico, mate. Mate, there's a big step you haven't taken and you need to take it." So Nicodemus understood Jesus' terminology, but he was confused by it. The term born again was used by the Jews back in Jesus' day to identify major stages or big steps in a person's life. In fact, there were six ways, according to the Jews, that one could be born again. We're going to put those six steps up on the screen for you. So these are six ways that someone could be born again. Number one, a Gentile converting to Judaism. Number two, to be crowned king. Number three, the Jewish coming of age, which was the bat mitzvah for girls, which was the age of 12. But because we're speaking about Nicodemus here, the Jewish coming of age would have been his bar mitzvah at age 13. When a Jewish person got married, it was born again. It was a big step. It was a change of life. They normally got married somewhere between the ages of 16 and 20. Number five was when they were ordained as a rabbi at the age of 30. And number six was to become the head of a rabbinical school at the age of 50 to train other rabbis. Now, just leave that up on the screen and let's have a look at this in comparison to Nicodemus's life. The first two did not apply to Nicodemus, and so he was already a Jew. He wasn't a Gentile. He didn't need to convert because he was a Jew. And the second one, of course, was that he was not of the royal line, so he would never be crowned king. But the next four apply to Nicodemus. So as a Jew, he would have had his bar mitzvah at the age of 13. He was married. According to verse 1, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, or the Sanhedrin. And to be a member of that council, you had to be a married man. Number 3, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and so he was also a rabbi. And so at the age of 30, he would have been born again by becoming a rabbi. And then Jesus refers to him in verse 10 as Israel's teacher, indicating that he was the head of a rabbinical school training other rabbis, and so he's experienced number 6. He's the head of a rabbinical school. That would have happened around the age of 50. And so he understands Jesus' terminology, but he's confused by it. He's now an old man, and understanding that in the Roman Empire of the first century, 50% of the people died before the age of 10. If you made it to 10, it's likely that you would have lived maybe into your 40s or 50s, okay? An old person would be in their 50s or their 60s. And so Nicodemus says, how can someone be born when they are old? And so this guy is over 50, and in his mind, there were no more chances for him to be born again. There were no more big steps left to take unless he was to begin life again, which is why he comes up with this hypothetical to Jesus. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And so you can see what's going on in this guy's mind. The only way I could be born again is to be by being born again and starting the whole process. So he understands, but he's confused. Jesus answered him. He says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You, in the plural, speaking to everybody, should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So here, Jesus is comparing the two types of birth. Nicodemus has said, the only way I can be born again is to by going back into my mother's womb and starting the whole process, which we know is impossible. And Jesus then talks about this being born of water or being born through the waters of birth, which he refers to natural birth or birth of the flesh, which enters us into the earthly kingdom. And for Jews, being Jewish, being born of the water into the earthly kingdom was all they needed. To be born Jewish was enough. As a Jewish man or a Jewish woman, they had a right to the kingdom. That's what their law stated. Jewish law said this: all Israel has a share in the world to come. It's based on Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21, and it says, and your people are all righteous, forever shall they inherit the land. And so the people of Israel viewed themselves as righteous just simply because they had been born as Jews. And here Jesus comes along and says, being born as a Jew is not enough. So Nicodemus and the other Jews all depended on their heritage. There are people in Australia right now that depend on their heritage. Our census still shows us that over 50% of people in this country identify themselves as Christian, but not all of those people have been born again. Some people think they're okay because they were born in Australia, and Australia is a kind of Christian nation, and so that's good enough, but it isn't. Some people think it's good enough because they were born into a particular denomination. They're Catholic or Anglican or Baptist or Pentecostal, and that's enough. It isn't. Some people think that they're born again or they're Christians because their parents were Christians. But God doesn't have grandchildren. Some people say, I've been baptized, I've been christened, I've been confirmed, I've been dedicated. And all those things are wonderful. But we can't rely on those. They're not being born again. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. And going to church is great. I think, though, being part of a church is better. Because church is not just something you attend. Church is something you're a part of. You know, when I started pastoring almost 35 years ago, one of the things that the Pentecostal and contemporary churches really prided ourselves in was that all the people that were part of our church were there pretty well every Sunday. We weren't like those traditional churches where they had a whole bunch of people that would go twice a year at Christmas and Easter. One of the things I'm saddened about is that that's now us as well. You see it on Easter weekend, and it's wonderful. I mean, praise God for the people that come on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I stand at the door afterwards and shake hands with people I know but only see twice a year at Bayside. And I think that's a shame. Because church is not just something we attend, it's something that we're a part of. And there's an increasing amount of that, and I think part of it is the busyness of life. But, you know, we have, and it's the same with all the other contemporary churches these days right around Australia, that the church can be growing, but the services are not. Because what we have is more people coming less often. And rather than saying, okay, I'm a part of this church, I'm plugged in, I'm boots and all, people often put their church gathering at the bottom of the list. If I don't have all these other things to do, then I'll make it. And can I challenge that? Maybe, just maybe, there's some people here today and you actually just need to hear this to give yourself a little bit of a slap up the side of the head and plug in. Don't just attend, but get involved, be involved, be a part of your church community. Some people think that they're Christians because they do the right thing. They follow the golden rule, they keep the Ten Commandments. According to Jesus, none of these things are enough. It's not enough just to be born naturally. You need to be born of the Spirit. A spiritual birth enters you into the kingdom of God. That is, Nicodemus could not rely on his birth, his culture, or his religion to ensure him a place in God's kingdom, and nor can we. What makes us a child of God is spiritual birth. And so if you're asking the question right now, how can I take this big step to be born again? Let's read the next few verses of John chapter 3 to find out what Jesus tells us. In John 3 verses 14 to 17, he tells us how we are to be born again, how we can have a spiritual birth into the kingdom of God. In verse 14 of John 3, Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let me just stop there for a moment. When it says, "For God so loved the world refers to those who are not yet following the will of God by being born again. So it refers to all the people on the planet who have not yet made that big step. Think about that for a moment. What is the attitude and the feeling and emotion of God toward those who are not yet following him? The answer is in that verse: love. God loves people. I would love it if the people that God loved heard the same message from God's church and God's followers. It breaks my heart when I hear and see people, and particularly high-profile people who have a platform where lots and lots of people hear what they say, and they communicate anything other than the love of God for people. So all people hear is how much God hates them, how much they are sinners destined for hell, and people just roll their eyes and walk away, and they go, "Yeah, I thought so." Right? What people need to hear is the gospel, church. What people need to hear is the good news, amen? That God loves them. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have, present tense, eternal life. That is, life in the world to come starts now. You have eternal life on the inside of you right now if you have been born again. And so what is he talking about here? And he said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, he's referring back to Numbers 21, where Moses had brought the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness. They were on their way to the promised land. It was taking longer than it should have done, and the people started to whinge and complain. They were complaining of being in the wilderness. There wasn't enough water, and gee, were they over manna. Like, seriously, manna was nice for the first few weeks, but again, like manna pancakes this morning, manna burgers for lunch, manna casserole for dinner. We get up tomorrow morning, oh, manna. And they were starting to whinge and complain. They should have been watching their manners. And God was not happy with their whinging and complaining. And so a plague of snakes came through the camp, and people were starting to be bitten, and some people were dying. And so the people stopped complaining and started to call out to Moses, and they said, "Moses, pray to God for us." And so Moses sought the Lord, and the Bible tells us that God told him to make a bronze snake and put it on a standard, on a flagpole, and lift it up so all the people could see it. What he was doing was basically tapping into the culture of the day. In some mythology, we see the same story. The people of Egypt believed that if someone was bitten by a snake, that if they saw an image of a snake, they would be okay. And so God just picks up on that and says, the people will understand what's happening here. The only difference is that when Moses lifted up the snake, the people saw it and they were healed, they were saved. And Jesus says here, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, referring to his death on the cross and subsequent exaltation, his resurrection, so that everyone who now looks to Jesus will be saved. We see the same happening still today in the medical symbol. If you have a look at the picture here, you see the two snakes wrapped around each other on the pole. That's the symbol of medicine. It's called the caduceus, and it's a sign of health and healing. When we look to medical professionals, we know that there is hope for our physical condition to improve. But the hope is even stronger when we look to Jesus Christ, because he will never, ever let us down. And when we look to Jesus, we are saved, we are born again. Now, it appears likely, as we'll see next time I share the word here, that Nicodemus acted on Jesus' words and that he went on to take the next big step. And we'll find out what that was in 2 weeks. To be continued. Amen. So make sure you're here in 2 weeks' time. And so let me ask you this morning, church, just as we wrap up, what big steps do you need to take? Are there people here today or online or listening to my voice or watching this video and you need to take the big step of actually believing in God? And then when you've taken that big step, do you take the big step of believing in Jesus, of looking to the Son, to receiving forgiveness for everything that you have ever done wrong, of having the slate wiped clean and having this eternal quality of life placed on the inside of you now? They're two amazing steps to take. Or maybe there are other big steps that you're thinking about making and taking in your life today. Can I just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity, just like I was given as a 19-year-old. Now, I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat and walk to the front. All I'm going to ask you in a moment is to raise your hand. And we have our pastoral team standing around. They've got packs to hand out that include a Bible and a really helpful little booklet that's going to give you the foundations of what it means to take these big steps. Now, there might be people online today as well. You're watching. Thank you for engaging with us today. And what I've shared with you has resonated with you and you want to take those big steps. Can I encourage you to contact us? If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can either put a comment on the thread or you can send us a private message and we will post a Bible and a pack out to you. And the same goes for those of you who are watching or listening to this as a podcast somewhere down the track, that you contact us at Bayside. You can either do so via the website, that's probably the best way to go, baysidechurch.com.au, or you can phone the church office and we will follow up with that and help you take those big steps on your journey. We're going to say a prayer right now, and for everyone, either in this auditorium or watching or listening to this, I ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Let's all say this prayer together. My Father in heaven, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I look to the Son, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. So I look to Jesus, lifted on a cross, rising from the dead to destroy death and to grant eternal life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Wash me clean. Forgive me. And fill me with your presence. From this day on, I will live for you. In your name, amen. Let's put our hands together, shall we, church? So good. Now, if you've just received one of those packs, open it up. On the inside, you will find a form that you can fill out and just give it to one of our pastors. We've got our pastors here that can just spend a few minutes with you when we finish the service in just a moment. And as I said before, use this message to reach out to people. You know, my heart's passion, and I know yours is as well, for other people to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. That we enjoy God's presence. We enjoy God's forgiveness. But let's not just keep it to ourselves. This is the best message. This is life-changing. And so let's share that with others as we have opportunity. You know, God is not asking us to be obnoxious. He's not asking us to be Bible bashers. The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you. In other words, they initiate that. But as you go through your life and you might end up having a good conversation, a spiritual conversation with somebody, use your wisdom, gauge where they're at. Ask them if they would like to talk. Get them to ask you questions and to initiate conversation. Listen to what they have to say as well. All of these things are so, so important. And you can help people that way on the journey of faith to taking big steps. I want to encourage you to share with other people about our Alpha courses that are coming up. Gives all the basics of the Christian faith. If you want to, if you know someone who would like to join Alpha, then let them know about that. And we also want to start one on Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock. That will then feed into our Saturday evening service. So you could come at 4 on Saturday and then stay for church if you want to on Saturday evenings. We're also starting a brand new Freedom in Christ course. This is a new course. The old one has been completely updated and renovated. It is now shorter than the old course. And we're going to be running this on Thursday evenings here at the Bayside Centre at 7:30 p.m. So if you want to take a big step in becoming a disciple and growing in your faith in Jesus, I encourage you to book into that. God bless you, church.